You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello from the Etihad, head of Man City versus Real Madrid, Champions League quarterfinal second leg tonight. We're about an hour away from kickoff as I'm speaking to you. We've just had the team news drop, and the City team news especially. The big news there is that John Stones is not in the starting 11, but Kyle Walker is. Guardiola said yesterday that Walker had been training, still felt a bit of discomfort. It was a decision of whether he plays or starts on the bench, really, but he is starting, I think. We all probably expected that, given how good he has been in these games down the years. Captain always raises his game for these big matches, and obviously Real's big threat is Vinicius Junior, and Walker and Vinicius have had some sensational battles in the last few seasons, and Walker has tended to come out on top in those games. So I think we all thought he would probably risk Walker, and that is the case. Ake was another player who's been injured recently. He was on the bench without coming on at the weekend. He is on the bench. Vardiol is at left back. But yeah, the big news is John Stones not starting. Stones did miss the game at the weekend. We were told that was through tightness. But it's only a role on the bench for him today. So it's Akanji and Diaz at centre-half. And an interesting one, really. City have been so good and so dominant at times with Stones in that side. And Stones can really add something to midfield and the attack when he plays. So, bit of a shame for City that he is not fit enough to start. Akanji has got better in that role, but doesn't offer as much as Stones does. But he has been good, and he does at least help Walker out in terms of the pace on that right-hand side of the defence. The rest of the team, probably as we thought, Rodri, Bernardo, De Bruyne, Foden, Grealish, Haaland. I guess the real point of interest when they set up will be the roles for Foden and Bernardo, whether it'll be Bernardo in midfield as kind of that 6-8 alongside De Bruyne and Foden on the right and Grealish on the left. I think that's probably what we'll see, especially with Walker starting. When Walker starts, he can offer a bit of width on the right, and it allows Foden to play on the right and tuck in a little bit. But we'll see how City set up tactically once the game gets underway. We've had the Real Madrid team as well. That's pretty much as expected. It was confirmed a long time ago there. Bellingham obviously starting. Rodrigo and Vinicius up front. Valverde in there. Camavinga fit enough to start. There were some doubts about him. Been some nights about Rodrigo since the weekend as well, but both of those play. So the Real Madrid team, as expected. As I look around now, it's bright blue skies here at the moment, about an hour before kickoff. It's been four seasons in the last 2 or 3 hours. Those of you living in Manchester will know the weather here is unpredictable at the moment. When I arrived at the ground about 5 p.m, 3 hours before kickoff, it was torrential rain again. Since then, the sun's come out. The City's team bus arrived about half an hour ago, and that was sunshine 1 minute and then dark clouds the next, but Now, looking up from my seat here, it's clear blue skies. Few of the seats starting to fill up. The away end is more full than the home end at the moment. We've had a bit of scarf twirling from those Rail fans. And in the centre circle, they are just laying out that big Champions League logo across the centre circle at the moment. And I can see on the seats in some parts of the Etihad, there are flags out for some kind of pre-match show from the City fans. And I'm sure maybe we'll have one of those light shows we've become accustomed to here in those big games. A difficult match to call from speaking to my colleagues here tonight, myself and Simon Pekowski and Joe Bray. We've just been discussing what we think is going to happen in the two games, really. And I think the general consensus was that we expect City to win, and the other one is probably harder to call. But I don't think anyone feels quite as confident in City as they did in the semi-final second leg a year ago. And City, you know, proved too good that night. That 4-0 performance is probably the apex of the Guardiola era, and was a stunning display, really. I don't think anyone thinks it's going to be quite that comfortable tonight. I think of the four possible outcomes across the two games tonight, for me, the biggest shock would be Real winning. I could see anything happening in the other game, and I would expect City to win here. So the shock, if there is one tonight, would be Real winning. It's certainly a possibility that the game last week was sensational, probably not how City wanted it to pan out in terms of the opportunities and the loss of control at times, really. And you know, I think the Champions League played into City's hands last year. Those epic Champions League nights that we kind of had become accustomed to, those 4-3s, 3-3s, 4-2s, 5-3s, became a thing of the past, and it became a more controlled competition last year, and that played into City's hands. But in the quarterfinals this year, it's been sensational again. There's been 29 goals across the six matches so far. Every team has scored in all six matches, and it's when games get like that, when they are 2-2, 3-3, 3-2, 2-3, that it's that, you know, that's not what Guardiola tends to want from his team. So the challenge for City tonight is to bring some element of control to the Champions League quarterfinals, to make this the one of those eight fixtures that is more routine, and maybe the one with a clean sheet, and try and ease through 2-0 or something like that. But I think we all think Real will be better than they were last year, and that makes it a pretty tricky one to call. That's all from the Etihad pre-match. We will be back with you post-match, so keep an eye out on our Facebook page for that, and we'll have all the content and all the action from the Etihad for you on the MEN website as well. That's all for now.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, welcome back to the Talking City podcast. We've just seen Manchester City exit the Champions League on penalties. Heartbreaking fashion, you would have to say. It was an enthralling game, not quite the 3-3 of the Bernabeu, but it was one after extra time onto penalties, and City had given everything and then just came up short. My name's Joe Bray, joined by Tyrone Marshall. Ty, what do you make of it?
I mean, it was just a thrillingly tense, yeah, edgy, horrible Champions League game, really, wasn't it? It was, you know, I just read the piece, and it was kind of, it's what Champions League games are supposed to feel like, I think, in the knockout rounds. And in a way, City didn't really get that last year. They were so good here. They eviscerated Real, Bayern, RB Leipzig. You know, it was tense in Istanbul last year when they were in the final. But in knockout games here last year, they didn't really have that. And I think this has been the tensest, tautest, most edgy Champions League night here, probably since Tottenham, and it's ended in similar fashion. But I thought City were excellent for large periods. I've got to say, I think the best team has gone out. 67% possession, 33 shots to 8, 18 corners to 1. It's absolutely, you know, it's just kind of what Real Madrid do, I guess. That City, the second half especially, I thought City were phenomenal. Not necessarily in terms of technicality like they were last year. They blew Real away with their brilliance last year. The second half this time, it was pure intensity, pure physicality. It was suffocating, and those Real players just couldn't breathe. But unless they are totally out of oxygen, they are alive. And the City didn't starve them of oxygen enough. They had a breath left. They got themselves to penalties, and they do what Real Madrid do, and they survived, and they went through. And I don't think the best team over the two legs has won. I don't think the team who's even close to the best over two legs has won. But it's what Real do. But I think long term, you'd have to look at it and say, you know, it still felt like a great Etihad night. I thought the atmosphere was phenomenal all night. It was. You know, you look back and Valverde said last year in October, I think, that this was the most difficult stadium he'd ever played in. And you can see why he means that in the second half. The team of Real Madrid's quality couldn't breathe in the second half. And unfortunately, the only mistake City made was that they didn't kill them. And when you don't kill Real Madrid, you give them a chance. You might be able to hear the Real Madrid fans are still in the stadium, and Jude Bellingham's just gone back out. I think he's maybe doing some TV, and he's been winding the City fans up all night and celebrating with the Real Madrid fans, and he's just punched the air again to the Real fans and got a big roar. It's certainly Bellingham's night, but you know, I think it's unfortunate and unlucky for City the way they've gone out, because I don't know about you, but I just thought they were comfortably the better team across the 180 minutes and certainly tonight.
I think, yeah, they were the better team, but it felt, I mean, for me in the first half, I don't think City were City. I think they were thinking a little bit too much. I don't want to say the word overthinking, but Real got the goal, sort of caught City on the counter-attack. I said to you and Simon that they were sort of playing a really high-low block, in that they were letting City have the ball when it was the defenders, and as soon as City moved the ball forward into the midfield, then it was the high press, and they were trying to force the midfield. And I think that threw City off a little bit, and it took them a while. They conceded. It took them a while to actually work out how to play through that, and then after that they slowly build up the chances, but even still you're thinking, just calm down, just chill out a little bit, and you are creating the chances when you're not playing great. And imagine if you play great, you're going to do it. And the second half was a lot more like City, and you always felt they were in it, even when the clock was ticking away. They get the goal. We were saying Grealish was one of the best players. He was definitely City's best attacking outlet, and a lot of eyebrows were raised when he went off, but he was on the booking, and then Jeremy Doku comes on and takes it to a new level. I think that was a really good change from Guardiola, in that he sort of noticed what was happening on that side, and Doku's got better and better over the last few weeks, and he creates the goal. De Bruyne, who I didn't think had a great game, he knows where to be in the area, he pops up and gets the goal. Etihad erupts. You felt it was just waiting to have that moment, weren't you? And it was, I mean, the fans were great. They were getting behind the side when they needed it, when there was a bit, when you could see that the top players were looking around thinking, how do we get through this low block, because that block did get lower and lower and lower from Real Madrid. And it just, they could have got another goal, and I think if they got one more, they would have got on and got a couple more, wouldn't they? And then extra time comes. I think that helps Madrid, because they were hanging on. They were really, really hanging on. Extra time gives them a chance to just reset a bit. Even when Rodrigo and Vinicius go off, they have a bit of a plan. They have a couple of chances on the break. City sort of, again, not run out of ideas, but I think they were getting quite tired, and it was. I think they needed to win that game in the 90 minutes. It goes to penalties, and they win the toss. They do everything right. Edison steps up and scores.
Lovely penalty, yeah.
I mean, that was a penalty that would have sent City out, and I was thinking, oh no, after all the talk of Edison taking a penalty, please do not sky this. But I mean, it was a good penalty, but it was a pretty poor one from Bernardo, wasn't it? It wasn't a Panenka, it was just a bad chip straight at Lunin. And Kovacic, it's one of them, I didn't hear the commentators, but I would imagine they said that's too close to the goalkeeper. Yeah. And if you're going to go that way, put it in the corner. And Madrid missed one, but made no mistakes. And it's just a frustrating night, because they didn't play badly.
No.
It's other Champions League nights, they've let it go and they played badly. And they were, as you say, they were the better team. I don't know how you would start to analyse that as Guardiola, because all the players and Guardiola were sort of a bit shell-shocked at the end. The fans were clapping them off because they gave everything, and I don't know, how would you think that they go through do this now? They've got Chelsea in 3 days' time. They've got to go down to London. Not ideal at all after going all that way and not winning.
No, I mean, I think you'd possibly make Chelsea favourites now, to be honest, at the weekend. With, you know, we've written this week quite a bit about how this is always the toughest week of City's season, and they always seem to cop for this Wednesday night Champions League, Saturday FA Cup draw. I mean, it's two season-defining games in 72 hours. It's just so, so difficult. And you know, I was doing some research yesterday, and Guardiola made 8 changes against Chelsea 3 years ago, 7 against Liverpool 2 years ago, 6 against Sheffield United last season. And although he made changes on Saturday against Luton, you feel he's got to do it again, because that was just so, so draining tonight. And you talk about Bernardo's penalty. I mean, it was the penalty of an absolutely exhausted footballer, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the person next to me said, was that a Panenka? And I was like, I didn't think it was.
No.
But it was just sort of like strokes down the middle, and it had no power on it, and it looked terrible in the end. But like you say, it was as good as that second half from City was, and not in the way that they were great last year against Real. Like I say, it was in a different way. It was, they were just physically dominant. It was, you know, I've used the phrase suffocated a few times, but that's what it was in terms of the players and the fans. It just, and the Etihad's got this reputation of being mocked within English football, and when you hear people like Fede Valverde say it's the hardest stadium he's played in, you'll have fans of other clubs going like, is that a joke? But it's not just the atmosphere, or necessarily the atmosphere that makes it, it's the way City play here. And you know, we've just been debating, does this count as an unbeaten game or not? You know, we've had this debate before with City and penalties. If it is unbeaten, they've equaled the club record from 1921 for unbeaten games, but I don't think anyone wants to celebrate it tonight. But you can see why big clubs come here and get eaten alive, because they just get swamped. They can't live either with City's quality or their intensity and physicality, and that is what happened. But like you say, it felt like the game was there to be won in the 90 minutes. De Bruyne should probably have scored the winner from a Kanji's top back, I think it was. I think that was their best chance to win the game. In extra time, it became more even. And Real had chances again. Rudig had a really good chance. They had a few moments on the break, which they just didn't have at all in the second half. You know, we were looking at that goal constantly in the second half. There was nothing from Real. But yeah, like I say, City's only mistake is that they didn't kill them. I mean, we've just been saying, how does Guardiola analyse it? I mean, Simon's doing the Pep's press conference for us shortly, and you'll be able to read his quotes on the MEN website, but I'm going to have a guess that his analysis will basically be, that's Real Madrid.
Yeah.
You know, he's called them kings of the competition already during this tie, and I wouldn't be surprised if he says it again, because that is just what they do. You know, look at what they did to City and Chelsea and PSG 2 years ago. They were dead in all of those ties, and they won them all, and they got to the final and they beat Liverpool. It's just what they do, and it's starting to feel like one of those years again where they're just going to win it when they're not the best team in Europe. You know, City are the best team in Europe. The way they played tonight, I don't think you can dispute that, but they just didn't finish them off. And you know, you mentioned a few performers there. I'd agree. I thought Grealish was really good. Is quietly having a really good second half of the season. I think he's got better and better. But you can see his battle with Carvajal was brilliant. They were both booked for fouling each other. It was a really good, intense physical battle. Doku did change the game. Thought De Bruyne was maybe a little lucky to stay on, as he was against Arsenal, but you just can't take him off, and there he is for that moment. But I don't know, I didn't think he had a great game. There's a few people around us who said he kind of drove City forward in the second half. Maybe he did, but it feels to me at the moment like De Bruyne is doing it through a force of will.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's those moments of genius that came so easily, even 12 months ago. You know, he was, especially at the Etihad, at this time last year, he was the man, wasn't he, at the Etihad? He was the one killing Arsenal, killing Real Madrid. You know, he was phenomenal in these games. At the moment, it feels like that genius is still there. We saw it against Palace, but he's having to search for it. It's not coming naturally to him like it did. He's finding it harder to get those decisive moments, and they're becoming rarer, and it just feels like a force of will at the moment, like he's just trying and trying and trying to make something happen. And this, you know, without the goal, it was probably a 5 or 6 out of 10 performance. He gets the goal in the end. Unfortunately, it doesn't really count for anything, but I don't know, it didn't feel like it was him at his best, and kind of got, it's an issue brewing. But you come back to the Arsenal game when De Bruyne and Foden started together and neither played well, and it kind of happened again tonight. And in the meantime, when one of the others played, they're the best player on the pitch, really.
yet together. It's just not really working at the moment since the
I think City looked better when Guardiola changed things in the second half, and Foden was quite isolated in the first half on the right. He moved it over, so it's Bernardo on the right. Bernardo plays a lot better. Foden and De Bruyne can combine in the middle. I agree with you that I don't think De Bruyne, I don't think he's been playing that well.
No.
And even when at Crystal Palace he scores two goals and gets an assist, I was saying I don't think he's had a good game apart from that. But because he's winning those games himself, that's sort of the mark of a good player. And without City, without him, they would have gone out in 90 minutes here. So it's weighing it's that up.
It's that quote from Guardiola when De Bruyne and Haaland were both out, and kind of took us all by surprise. But he basically said those players don't help you play better; they help you win games.
Yeah.
And I guess you see it tonight, really, with that kind of thing. That De Bruyne didn't make City play better tonight. He just came up with a big moment.
Yeah.
But at the moment, he isn't making City play better, I don't think.
But then he's taken off, and I'm thinking, you've got 10 minutes till penalties.
Yeah.
Is it worth keeping him on just for that experience? Yeah. But and you bring on Kovacic, who goes and misses.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that he took Haaland off in the stroke of 90 minutes when extra time starts. And again, Haaland didn't have a great game, but do you want him there just to get on the end of a potential chance? Alvarez did okay, scored a penalty, but it's one of them. I think Guardiola stayed calm throughout. There was a lot of nerves. I think the players were nervous, the fans were nervous. He stayed calm and made those big decisions and took off some big players. To take off Grealish, Haaland and De Bruyne in a game that you're going to win, I don't think it made City play worse.
No.
But then, because they've lost, you're going to look at it and say, well, should you have done that? It's but it will always come back to the fact that it's Real Madrid, and they defended very, very well.
Yeah.
Their game plan was to stop City playing, and they stopped the City playing in their own half. In the first half, in the second half, it was more of a traditional low block. But their game plan worked to perfection.
Yeah.
They celebrated like they knew they had won a massive game.
Huge.
We talk about, and we've talked a lot this season about decisive weeks. They can't win the treble now. I think Guardiola, he won't be relieved. Obviously, he will want to win it, but he will be happy to not have to answer those questions after tonight, really, in terms of, are you going to win it? He always says he'll only think about it after you've won two of the three and you've got one game left. It's one of those where City have to get that FA Cup win at the weekend, because if not, then it's only the Premier League. But they thrive when they're on multiple competitions and playing well. They've got to use this where they've played well. Yes, they've lost, but they've played well, and they can use that momentum in that way. But it's going to be a really difficult task against the Chelsea side, who've caused them a lot of problems.
Yeah, to find in form.
Absolutely.
Chelsea, it is. You know, like I say, this week is always difficult. It tends to be that they get through in Europe, make changes and lose in the FA Cup, unless they're playing someone like Sheffield United. But like I say, it's just a huge, huge challenge now. Those players were exhausted. It's maybe recovery tomorrow. And then Friday, you try and train and prepare for Chelsea, but I don't think they'll have much training in them. And then it's travel down to London. You know, it's an absolutely brutal schedule for two season-defining games. And like you say, it does feel like they need to go and win that semi. And, you know, I just don't... I think Chelsea might be favourites based on the form Chelsea are showing, the fact they have caused them problems in both games this season. And just the tiredness effect is going to be huge on this City team. And you've also got... the issue. I mean, you look at Liverpool and Arsenal recently. Also, Arsenal have gone out tonight as well. They've both had a bad result, and it's had a knock-on effect in their other competitions. You know, Liverpool lost to United in the FA Cup, started to stumble a bit, lost to Atalanta in Europe, and then lost the next league game. Arsenal lost the league game at the weekend and have lost in Munich tonight, and should probably have lost by more from what I read on Twitter. Obviously, we've not seen the game, but, you know, it sounds like that they were very much second best in Munich. So those two are much more inexperienced teams than City, but they have had a bad result, and it's had a knock-on effect in other competitions. And A, you've got the risk of that with City at the weekend, but if they were to lose that game, I mean, it puts so much pressure on the league fixtures, and it also just, you know, it changes the narrative, it changes the feel of a season. And it's felt like for 3 days they've dared to dream the impossible dream. I mean, a double treble sounds impossible, and turned out it was impossible. But because of what happened on Sunday, that became the narrative at Tuesday's press conference, and rightly so. And Bernardo certainly fueled it with his talk of it being a legacy. And like you say, Pep tried to calm it down. He hates talks of doubles and trebles and quadruples and sextuples and tetuples, as he always goes on about, and he was always going to dislike it. But he did say he can't stop the players from dreaming, and you can see what it meant to Bernardo. The players were were gutted tonight. And you know, it's a shame for City in a way that it's kind of been bubbling under the surface because they've not been in control of their destiny in the league. Suddenly they are, and then 3 days later it's kind of over. It's not, you know, this idea of history, this idea of the unthinkable, the double treble, hasn't really had a chance to breathe because it only kind of came alive on Sunday night and now on Wednesday night, and it's dead. But you know, there's still lots to play for this year. A fourth successive league title would be phenomenal. The FA Cup is still there. That's a domestic double. And like I say, I still think they can hold their heads high tonight. They were the better team. Like, you know, you're right to say that Real defended very well, and not many of those City chances were brilliant chances. You know, Haaland went off, he hit the bar, but he didn't do a lot apart from that. I thought the tactic of, there were so many crosses tonight, and I just, they'd obviously spotted a weakness there. He's done that, it worked. Haaland hasn't scored a header since October the 29th, and just didn't feel like it worked, but I still think they hold their head high. I still think it was, it's disappointing at the time, but I still think it was a great Etihad night. And stadiums like this, for clubs like this, they have to live these nights. And as good as last season was, it's not real in a way. That isn't what Champions League or European Cup knockout football is like. It's amazing to experience it, but really, as football fans here tonight, what is real is living on the edge for 90 or 120 minutes of a knockout game that is the very definition of knife edge, and that felt like it was. And like I say, the atmosphere was excellent. There was a couple of times Pep called for more, but I don't think he can be disappointed with the fans tonight. When they went 1-0 down, the backing was absolutely constant. So, you know, I still think it was a big night in the history of the stadium, and the kind of night, like I said, not had since Tottenham. And it's bigger and better than Tottenham, because with all due respect to Tottenham, that's Tottenham, and City was still kind of learning the ropes in Europe. Tonight they've gone toe-to-toe with Real again, they've been the better team again, and it's been a proper heavyweight European clash. You know, this is, I wrote the other day that this rivalry has taken over Real versus Bayern as the big European rivalry, and now obviously it's Real, Bayern and semis, so making me look stupid, but you know, it does feel that way, and it still felt like a monumental night and an epic heavyweight night.
Well, we can see on our screens here that Guardiola is talking to the press now, and he doesn't look too disappointed. I don't think, as we've said, they don't think they should be. It's, they've gone out in far worse fashions in the Champions League, and this is one where genuinely two penalty kicks, or one penalty kick even, separated two of the best teams in the world. So we will bring you all the reaction from Guardiola in his press conference, and throughout the week we'll be back for a more extended version of Talking City on Friday with myself and Simon Bajkowski, who's down quizzing Pep as we speak. And yeah, you can see by the reaction of the Real Madrid camp that this was a big one for them. So we will stick around on the Manchester Evening News throughout the evening and tomorrow, and then Friday we'll look ahead to that Chelsea game and see if City can take the disappointment and use it against Chelsea in the FA Cup, because that is going to be an almighty effort after going all the way against Real Madrid. Thanks for joining us.
A really proud performance tonight, but it's always a difficult way to go out. What are you feeling after that one?
Nothing much to say. Congratulate Real Madrid. Congratulate my teammates for the effort. Nothing, we gave everything, nothing to regret. This is football sometimes, this is the trick of this competition. It shows how difficult it is to win it, what we did last season. We're very frustrated, to be honest, for what happened, but sometimes it's difficult to explain. We'll need to, tomorrow I know we have to kind of, the loss, but tomorrow we have to wake up, stand up, and because we have two more competitions to play.
It's two of the best teams in the world going up against each other. Couldn't be separated. Did it stand to those small margins? Go here, there.
Well, to be honest, today I saw only one team. But in terms of defending, they defend and they knew how to suffer. And of course, we know how tough is Real Madrid. But in my opinion, we should go through in the terms of chances, everything. But this is, as I tell you, the trick of this competition. They know quite well how to play.
It's very difficult mentally, also physically. If you worry about it, is everyone going to be okay with this running coming up and the FA Cup semi-final the weekend?
Yeah, we need to stand up. We need to mentality positive. Find any ambition that is right now. It's difficult to find, but tomorrow we'll find it. And go against Chelsea, try to be in another final and fight for the final.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Other than the result and the penalties, given you dominated the game, is there anything that you can look back on with regret or you could have done differently as a team?
Yes. I would have preferred to win. First of all, congratulations to Real Madrid to reach the semi-finals. They defend so deep with incredible solidarity. So we did everything. I don't have absolutely any regret about what we have done. So always we try as a managers and so create more and concede less in every single game because we believe that that helps to be close to win. And we did everything. So defensively, offensively, they make a good goal. So. One, two, three, or four transition, but it is normal in that level and the quality they have. But we play exceptional in all departments, in everything, and unfortunately we could not win. So that's where it is.
Pep, how do you pick the players up? Because you've already spoken about the schedule being really tight for Saturday's game. It's a huge game, obviously, in terms of your season. How do you pick the players up, get recovery because
there's some
extra time?
Yeah, we'll see tomorrow. So now it's rest and tomorrow we'll come back. And then Friday we travel to London to play the game. So we'll see. Maybe Friday, Saturday. Of course, we'll see how the people react for the mood. And of course, the recovery winning is easier than losing that day. But it's where it is. So it's a semi-final FA Cup. We'll try to compete as best as possible.
James?
Pep, I think for the second leg last year, you said that you were 100% confident you'd win that game.
Sorry?
Last year, before you played Brentford, you were really confident you were going to win that game after what happened previous year. I wonder, did you have that same feeling going into this game? If not, why not?
For the way we played, yeah. It was two, three years ago when we won 4-3. We played standing as well and last season as well, and the three games were quite similar. Today they defend deeper than the previous seasons and we create the chances to do it, but football is about to score goals and they did it a little bit better in the penalty spot than us. So, but I had the duty to say thank you for deep of my heart to these players, so for the way they played, the play against that team and the way we played. But so this is about results, the business, and they will be in semifinals. We are not for little margins, but the performance and everything, the commitment for everything was exceptional.
Sam?
Pep, you've controlled so much of that game and gone out on a penalty shootout. Does that make it more painful to go out when you've played so well?
It's what it is. Sometimes you win a penalty, sometimes not. For the way we played, you should have done it before. But we were not converted the chances that we had, and we defend really well the transition with our physicality, with Manu, with Josko, with Kyle, and everyone was at a high level. So we spoke to win Real Madrid, we had to perform our best, and we were our best, but it was not enough.
Mike?
Two quick questions about the penalties. Did you think Bernardo was affected by the ball not coming back to him quickly?
I don't know. Bernardo asked for the first, I want to take it. He's a reliable player and decide to shoot in that way. But absolutely, Bernardo was, again, what a game he played. So, but it happened. The ball go out and, yeah, it's what it is.
Were you tempted to keep Kevin on, or knowing that there was a possibility of penalties?
Erling and Kevin asked me to go out, could not continue, like Manu. So the game we were playing, they were amazing. I was a big fan to make a lot of substitutions, but Kevin Erling and Manu asked me to go out because we could not continue.
Last question, English, please, with Rob.
Real Madrid have obviously got some fantastic attacking players, but were you surprised at how deep they wanted to defend? And
I don't judge the ideas from Carlo and the way they decide to play. I'm not here to do this.